in God's vision for the rock, and it is to see every believer become mature in Christ. That's one of the primary vision and value goals, purposes that this church exists for, is to see every single believer become mature in Christ. The second part of this series, of this little short section, is to see every person through the eyes of Christ. So today we're going to be talking about to see every believer become mature. The next message is going to be to see every believer through the eyes of Christ. And so I want to just dive in today. And what I want to start with is by giving you God's definition of spiritual maturity. Okay? If our objective is to see every believer become mature in Christ, we kind of need to know what that is. Now, I could have written you my own definition taken out of Scripture and so on and so forth, but I wanted to let the Word of God speak for itself. Every one of us may have ideas that we have about what spiritual maturity is. And most of us put ourselves somewhere on the spectrum of from being a babe in Christ to being fully mature. We would put ourselves somewhere in there. But today, God gets to determine what maturity is. And the only accurate plumb line that we can lay against our lives is not human ideas about what spiritual maturity is or our personal opinions, but the Word of God itself. And so when you hear these passages, this is God's plumb line spoken in His Word that tells us what spiritually mature people are. And this also tells you where God wants to take you. So when you listen to these passages, this is where we set our sights. There is a place to play in every person in this church. This is also where God wants to take everybody else around us. So God wants to raise you up to spiritual maturity, but you also have a place to play in the raising up of others into spiritual maturity. So I'm giving you a little bit of introduction to where we're going here today. But I want to dive in, and we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, a very familiar passage of Scripture, and I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to touch on a couple points on it. I'll give you what this passage says. Okay, the primary thing this passage says, and this is definition number one, spiritual maturity is Christ-likeness. Okay, that's God's definition of what spiritual maturity is. The more Christ-like you are, the more like Christ you are, the more spiritually mature you are in the eyes of God. Okay? So listen to this passage, Ephesians 4, starting in verse 8. It says, when he, and it's referring to Christ, when Christ ascended after the resurrection, he ascended on high. It says that he led captives in his train and gave gifts unto men. Now we understand what those captives were. Those captives are the spiritual forces, the principalities and the powers that the Bible tells us that Jesus defeated on the cross. The Bible says that he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. Okay, so the forces that took us captive, Jesus led away captive. He defeated them, okay? And the reason why you can be free in Christ, the reason why you can become Christ-like and not just be under the dominion of the powers of darkness is because Jesus has executed the death blow on the authority of the enemy, and you can actually walk out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You can walk out from under the influence and the power of those forces and come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's where our freedom comes from walking out of one kingdom and walking into another. But the second part of that phrase, it says, he led captives in his train, and he gave gifts unto men. That's the part I want to emphasize there. God, through the cross, through his sovereign purposes, when Jesus Christ went to the cross and rose from the dead, one of the purposes that he rose from the dead for was to release gifts in his body and on planet Earth. Okay? He rose, ascended to the throne, and then from that place, God in Christ began to release gifts to the church and gifts to the inhabitants of this earth. So that's the background to what you read next. He led captives in his train, gave gifts unto men, and here they are. God gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Now, I want to stop right there. I want you to think about that. When Jesus, how many know that God gives good gifts? Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Every one of them. Apostles, we had some of them in our church in this last month or so. Translocal team members that function in apostolic ministry in other churches and all over this world, they were a gift to our church when they walked into the door of this place. A gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers are gifts to the church for this purpose. Here's the purpose. To prepare God's people for works of service. So he gifts those gifts with what they need from God in order to prepare God's people for gifts of service. Okay? How many of you can say today that God does know what he's doing? He knows what he's doing. This is how he designed one level of increase into maturity and into full stature in Christ. It is through the gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Well, keep that in the back of your mind just for a minute. Okay? He gave those gifts to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up. So those gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, are given for the purpose of bringing about in the lives of people works of service, to prepare them for works of service. Okay? Why has God called you to serve in this kind of way? Okay? The ultimate purpose of service that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ living through our lives is so that the body may be built up until we all reach unity of faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. That's actually unity of faith and unity in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. There's the word. So these gifts were given to prepare everybody to serve, and everybody serves for the purpose of the body being built up. That's every individual in the body and the body itself being built up so that we would all reach, and this is the direction of the building up, so that we would all come to unity of faith and to in the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Now here's the standard of spiritual maturity spoken by God in his word through the Apostle Paul: attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Okay? Now, that heart should ripple inside of you. That purpose should be vibrating in your being every single day of your life. Because this is what the Holy Spirit is doing among us. This is what God is doing through every person who gives themselves in service to the body. Ultimately, the end goal of it all is to raise all of us up into spiritual maturity, which is that every single one of us would walk in the fullness of the stature of Christ. Okay? So, you know, there are things about this. There's no such thing as taking a day off from spiritual growth. There's no such thing as taking a day off from the work of the Holy Spirit inside of you. There's no such thing as taking a day off from God dealing with you. We take a day off in the week, but God is still dealing with us. And brothers and sisters, can I say to you that Jesus fully intends to fulfill this purpose? And he fully intends to do it in everybody, in every one of us. And so, literally, every day of our lives, he has purpose for us in serving the different gifts that he's given in the body. Some of them we mentioned here. Those things are to be actively working, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, actively working to prepare you for works of service so that you can build up the body of Christ in unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, so that all of us can come to maturity in Christ, even to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's your mission, that's your call, that's your commission. Every one of you. Doesn't matter if you're a baby Christian who just got saved, you're now hearing what Jesus Christ called you to do. It doesn't matter if you've been walking with Christ for 50 years. This purpose is the same for every believer. Why does this church exist? This church exists to fulfill that purpose. Why are you a part of this church? You're a part of the church to take your place in the serving the body, to build the body up, so that the body can become unified in faith, like the Lord Jesus Christ, and entering into the fullness of the stature of what Christ is. Okay? Get your mind around that. Meditate on that. Go home and study it. Get into the Word of God. Because this is the fleshing out. This is what God wants to flesh out in your life to bring you understanding of why you exist. Why we exist. Why you were a part of a body. Okay? Now let me say this way. Please hear this. There is no agenda. Can I say, we have it up here. There's no agenda but Jesus. There's two ways you can say that. Jesus is the only agenda. That's one way you can say that. The other way you can say that is Jesus gets to set the only agenda. Now, this is really important. Okay? All kinds of people have different ideas about how they are going to connect with the body. They set the agenda. They decide how they're going to function. They decide how much they're going to be involved. They decide if they're going to give their lives or if they're not going to give their lives. They decide where they go, what they do, who they're involved with. But I want to say to you today, we do not get to set this agenda. We're not the head. We're not Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. And when we give ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, we actually lay down our lives. And there's all these passages of Scripture that talk about this. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. That kernel of wheat has to fall into the ground and die. And if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. If it does not die, it will abide alone. Jesus said this, if you will lay down your life for me and the gospel, you will find your life. Okay? Following the Lord Jesus Christ is not rocket science. You see what Jesus is, you see what Jesus does, and you follow him. When he talks about the church, the body, and all that he intends it to be in the Word of God, that is what we live out. And we try to live that out with absolute passion, absolute fervency, laying down our lives, not for our own vision, but for the vision of Christ as revealed in Scripture. Now, because everybody is a gift, and there are many gifts from the body, there are individual things that God fulfills through individuals in their particular gifting. Everyone has a place in the body. I hope you're hearing this, guys. Okay? You want to know what the vision of our church is? This is the vision of our church. It's why we exist. Okay? So, now, I'm going to dive in just a little teeny bit deeper on this. Okay, so this is just a little review here. What are God's gifts to bring you to maturity? I mentioned two different kinds of gifts, okay? There are two gifts that God has given, mentioned in this passage, that are given to you by God for the purpose of bringing you into spiritual maturity. One of them is that list of things that I mentioned. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are gifts from God to you to raise you up to full maturity. The second gift that God has given that's mentioned in this passage, you all, every single one of you, is a gift from God for the building up and the strengthening of others and helping them come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, until we all become the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Both of those things are mentioned there. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers are there to prepare you for works of ministry, but every section of that verse after that is talking about what the body does. You are called to works of service, and then it says, and your ministry is involved in bringing unity of faith, bringing people to the knowledge of the Son of God. And then I'll read it to you in that passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. This is what we all do, okay? Here's the quote, through speaking it, the truth in love, we, do you hear that? Through speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, even Christ. From him, the whole body, joined, held together, and supported by every ligament, grows, and listen to this carefully, and builds itself up. The body builds itself up. Now, I want to give you a clear picture of this. You want to know who is God's gift to you? Sent by God, a gift from the Father for the purpose of raising you up and building you up. It's not just apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. You are surrounded in this room with a horde of people who are gifts from God to you to mature you, to build you up, to edify you, and to help you become increasingly more Christ-like. Now, this is theology, guys. But this theology has incredibly practical outworking. Okay? What would you do if Jesus Christ walked into this room today in person and gave you a gift? How would you respond to that gift? How would you respond to Jesus? You know, the God of the universe, the creator of all things, manifest in the flesh, comes, walks up to you, and hands you a gift. Would you say thank you? Open up. Oh, I wasn't looking for that. You know. Oh, another tie. You know. I mean, what would you do with that gift? First of all, you can be absolutely sure that the God of the universe, who knows everything, knows exactly what we need. And he didn't just, you know, walk through the dollar store wondering what he's going to give you. He actually chose and designed, before the foundation of the world, every single person that he has put in your life for the purpose of building you up and strengthening you, edifying you, increasing you in maturity, and bringing you to the stature of Christ. Okay? I'm saying this for a reason, guys. Because this has to form our thinking about each other. It has to form how we respond to others in their gifting. You know, this informs our relationships. This heart tells us how we're to see each other. Okay? Now, the truth is, we have favorites. You know, we really like the way somebody does something. And another person we maybe endure a little bit. But I want to say to you that Jesus sits on the sidelines cheering on every single person, no matter where they're at in their growth, no matter how well they do things, or if they struggle, or if they fail, he is there cheering them on. Okay? And he has gifted them to give something away, and he wants us to receive the gift that's in people. Are you with me? See, we're talking about creating a culture of honor that honors every single gift that God has given us, that responds to every single gift and receives it. Now, I'm going to read you some scripture. Okay? Remember Christ's likeness. Here's the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. Listen to this. He's talking to his disciples. He who receives you receives me. Daniel Buxton sits in a connect group, and they're praying over people. And in the unique way that God has designed Daniel Buxton and gifted him, other people are prophesying in different kinds of ways, and he gets a lyric to a song. And in that connect group, he shares the lyric to the song. What's going on? The unique design and call on Daniel Buxton is now Jesus being released in that setting. And listen carefully, guys. If you receive Daniel, you're receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, I could say that to every person in this church. This is the attitude of Christ. These are the words of Christ. That raises how we receive from each other to a whole different level. It receives how we look at people. They're human vessels. They're clay vessels. You know, all of us have, you know, weaknesses and things that we're growing through and becoming and areas to, you know, I mean, we're all on a growth process. But to receive from that person right where they're at in their life, as Jesus ministers in whatever unique way he has, you're actually receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Are you with me? Okay? He who receives you receives me. Who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive the prophet's reward. Remember, that prophet is a gift from God. And God has put something in them. You receive the prophet, you get the reward that God put inside that prophet, it becomes yours. The gift of God that's in the prophet comes to you. It's God's gift to you. Okay? Now, I like what Jesus does. Prophets. Wow, big prophet, you know. Big name, prophet. I'm a prophet. He says that, even though, don't get me wrong, that's not a godly perspective. We're all just men. We're all just women. Right? Prophet is not higher or better than anybody else. It's just a gift. But then Jesus says, he uses the word prophet, and I believe for a reason. Then he says this. He says, anyone who receives a prophet because he's a prophet receives a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous person, because they're a righteous person, will receive that righteous person's reward. What's he doing? He said that for a reason. We exalt, you know, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Oh, yeah, the big speaker that's coming through, we're going to hear them. Wow, you know, we're so excited about this person out there somewhere, you know, that we listen to them on YouTube, and we're downloading their stuff, and we're getting their books. Praise God for all that.
But Jesus puts the righteous person on exactly the same level, to be received in exactly the same way. You see, when you begin to think this way, your heart begins to open up to people around you, and you begin to see the value. You begin to see that there's nothing different between a prophet and a righteous person. You begin to see that it's just as important their gift to us as the prophet's gift. This is how Jesus sees the body. This is how Jesus sees us, and we need to see each other through these eyes. Okay? And you guys are doing this, by the way. I'm not telling you something that you don't do. I love it when, you know, some person who's never got up and done something in the church, and they get up and they do something, and you all cheer for them, you know? People clap, and, you know, you're cheering them on. Now, you don't do that for me, and I'm getting over that, and I'm a little hurt, but no. I rejoice. I rejoice that that heart is in you. But can we do it with every person all the time? And celebrate every gift. Celebrate every person. Now here's another one. Matthew chapter 18. He called a little child. And he had the little child stand in the midst of them. And he said, I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. Now, I could share a lot about that, what that means. There's a lot in there. But he goes on to say, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom. Now, let me tell you one thing about what children are like. Children are dependent on others. Okay? This is part of the attitude. If I see that every single person has something of value to give to me, I value them and I value what they give. I become like a little child. I'm just open to receive. I'm dependent. I know that my growth is dependent not just on apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. It's dependent on the righteous men, and it's dependent on every person that I come in contact with. Encouraging, edifying, speaking truth, building up in love, and encouraging me to walk in the nature and the heart of Christ. We become like little children. We become sponges. We receive willingly from people. Okay? What this does, this knocks out spiritual pride. What do you have to say to me? I've studied the Bible. I've got 4 years of Bible college. You know, I read the Apocrypha once. Or whatever, you know? And I'm telling you honestly, brothers and sisters, this is the real truth. Some people sit and they think, what does that person have to say to me? You know? I mean, they're not going to be able to say anything new to me. I've already read it all. I've already said it all. But I'm going to say the attitude in the heart of Christ is on the edge of the seat, listening to every word, celebrating the gift, just like a little child would receive. You know? Hunger, interest, wonder, excitement in every gift. Then he says this. Listen carefully. Whoever welcomes a little child like this welcomes me. Do you get that? Is it okay that our kids get up on the platform and do funny things? You know, I know Finley is a little unique bird. And, you know, he's going to be a musician. There's no question about that. But his heart is to get up there with a little guitar and be in the band. And other kids run over. They grab flags and they come up here.
and they demonstrate freedom and joy, and they love church, and they love that they get to do this. Can I say to you today, if you receive one of these little children, in Jesus' name, you're receiving him. I'm going to close there.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian community.